So we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 6th chapter, text number 24. Sam nishchayena yoktavyo yoga nirvinam Chetasan Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamams Tyaktva Sarvan Asheshata Manasaivendriya Gramam Vinyamya Samantata Sanishchayena yoktavyo yoga nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamams tyaktva sarvan asheshatah manasaivendriya gramam Vinayamya samantataha Sanishchayena yoktavyo Yoga nirvinna chetasa Sankalpa prabhavan kamam Tyaktva sarvam asheshataha Manasaivendriye gramam Vinayamya samantataha Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the sciences on all sides by the mind. Purport. The yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsannishchadaryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyagat satovritte sadbira bhakti prasidyati. One can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance and determination. By following the prescribed duties, in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal, so the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Gurudev The gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu heard it. He became compassionate towards his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became very happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help. For God helps those who help themselves. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanasalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhano Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchukalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyahevacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare Sa Nishchayena Yoktavyo Yoga Nirvinna Chetasa Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamam Tyaktva Sarvam Asheshatah Manasaivendriya Gramam Viniyamya Samantatah. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. So in this chapter, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna about yoga system, known here as, explained here in this chapter as Dhyana Yoga. And as we know that, so this Ashtanga yoga system is there, so eight limbs are there, which the yogis are following in order to become absorbed in the Absolute Truth. As we know, also yoga means actually to link with the Supreme Lord, yukti, to become connected, to connect to the Supreme Lord. So there's various ways how it can be done. As we know, karma yoga is there by recognizing the Supreme Lord, but still being this material world, one may be engaged in so many activities, karma. But then one will still do some seva, some worship of the Lord, and give the result or some of the result of his work to the Supreme Lord. So that is Karma Yoga. And then we have Jnana Yoga. So that is by cultivating knowledge about the Supreme Lord, about the process of devotional service, and recognizing the Supreme Lord and trying to come nearer to the Supreme Lord, that is Jnana Yoga. Of course, especially amongst the Jnanis, there are many who have an impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. So they say that the Absolute Truth has no form. And their knowledge is not complete, but it is also not completely wrong, because the Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, and in the highest sense we know that the highest understanding is Bhagavan, understanding that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or His expansions are there, and they are full of all opulences, so they have a personal form. And then those who are a little less advanced, they are meditating on Krishna in the heart, on Paramatma. So Paramatma Vadis, and even there are actually some who are devotees on recognizing the personal form of Vishnu or Paramatma. And some of them, they're actually also Mayavadis. But they have some conception of Vishnu and they try to merge in Vishnu. So there are so many kinds of yogis and munis actually. And that is explained in the various Vedic literatures. Even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned. There's a whole list of different kinds of yogis and munis, and Prabhupada in a purport is explained about that and their different conceptions. So the jnanis are there, so either personalists or impersonalists. And those who are performing Ashtanga Yoga also. But the higher conception is always the personal conception. So in order to make advancement in spirit life, we have to perform yoga. And we have to rigidly follow the injunctions which are mentioned in scriptures, which are given by the acharyas, so that we can properly perform this Ashtanga Yoga, or even this, of course, ultimately then in our case, Bhakti Yoga, so which is the highest. But the devotees who are performing Bhakti Yoga, so they are recognizing the other processes. And they are recognizing that different persons are on different levels. And even amongst those who are performing Bhakti Yoga, so different devotees are at different levels. Even about the Bhaktas, as we know, the Kanishtha Adhikaris are there, Madhyam Adhikaris are there, and Uttam Adhikaris are there. But it's not just one category of Kanishtha. That is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, and others. So those who are just beginning, they may be known as Kanishtha, the new fight amongst the new fight. Those a little more advanced are Madhyam Kanishtha, and those who are most advanced about the Kanishtas are Uttam Kanishtha. And then to come to the next platform of Madhyam, so we have to be Uttam Kanishtha, we have to be good Kanishtha, good neophyte devotee, and then only we can become Madhyam. And first we come Kanishtha Madhyam, so neophyte about those who are on the intermediate platform, and then Madhyam Madhyam, and then Uttam Madhyam. And then from the platform of Uttam Madhyam, we can come to the highest stage, which is known as Kanishtha Uttam, and then there's Madhyam Madhyam and Uttam Uttam. Madhyam Uttam and Uttam Uttam. So many devotees are there in our stage also of Bhakti Yoga. But basically, as here we are discussing yoga, and especially here specifically Ashtanga Yoga, so this will apply to the devotees also. And for example, Ashtanga Yoga, Yam Niyam, So means following some rules and regulations, things to do. And then some prohibitions. And we are also doing this. Like for example, every morning we are getting up early and we are taking a bath and putting on fresh cloth. So all those who are practicing yoga, they are doing that. Even those karmis who are doing karma yoga, they have some knowledge and they are taking bath in the morning. In India, everybody is taking bath in the morning. In the West is a different story. They don't take bath every day in the morning. During the day or sometimes once a week, Hari Bol. But in India, everybody's taking bath in the morning. Maybe now also less, but at least like 20, 30 years ago, everyone was taking bath. And in the villages, still everyone is taking bath. Maybe in the city now, they're following the Western life, they may not take bath maybe every day in the morning, but every cultured person is taking bath in the morning. And so in India, because the culture is there, the understanding is there that when we have this human form of life, then we have to actually endeavor for self-realization. We may do karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, or bhakti yoga. But the jnana yogis or ashtanga yogis, they're not so much there, especially in Kali Yuga. Some are there in the holy places and in the Himalayas, they are there, but in the city, no yogis are there. Except maybe one or two ashrams are there who are doing maybe some yoga. But not so much. But karmis are there, many who are working and they know that we have to do something for God because we are servants of God. But they are not able to devote so much time, so therefore they are known as karmi yogis. And then the bhaktas, so they are, by the mercy of the Lord, they are, bhaktas are there always, even in Kali Yuga, who are doing bhakti. So that means under the guidance of the devotees who are advanced, so they are following sadhana bhakti. They are following the principles by which one can properly worship Krishna and serve Krishna. So sadhana bhakti, that means following some rules and regulations also. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi. Vidhi. Rules and regulations. So everyone has to follow rules and regulations. Otherwise there is no question of yoga, of advancing. And then, so we take early morning bath and then we put on fresh cloth and then the eating is regulated, not the meat that we eat any time. No, regulated, morning, noon and evening. Of course sometimes a little slack might be taken in between, but the yogis, they don't take snacks. They will eat once a day. That is a yogi. Even Prabhupada has explained, the brahmana is eating once a day. So even Prabhupada, many times, he was eating once. Especially after taking sannyas and before going to the West. So Radha Damodar temple and some other places, he was eating once. And maybe in the evening, a little fruit. And or in the morning also, something very light. So still one main meal, that is a yogi or a brahmana, is taking one meal. Of course now, sometimes devotees have to work very hard, the brahmacharis, they may take two times, even many times they take three times. Okay, no problem. But at least we should know. So what is there? So no problem, bhakti yoga is, we are following rules and regulations, but sometimes, not so strictly, but still some strictness is there, especially those who are highly elevated and who are exemplary in their behavior, like the sannyasis amongst the bhaktas. So they are supposed to be strict in their behavior, in their eating and sleeping, reducing. So that is there. So rules and regulations have to be followed. And then there are some prohibitions are there. Nished, things which we should not do. So for example, we don't smoke, we don't drink, no meat eating, No gambling, no illicit sex. So that is the minimum. Otherwise, we are not even considered to be human being, actually. So if you're not following these things, one is not considered a human being, actually, according to the Vedic literatures. A human being is not smoking, drinking, is not eating meat. One who is really following the Vedic scriptures. Of course, some exceptions are there, and we can see even the Kshatriyas, they were allowed to sometimes, they were going for hunting, and they may have also taken the meat. And those who cannot really be without meat, they may be taking some meat, but only on certain days, only on the new moon night, when the moon is not there. And then they are supposed to also do some puja to Durga Devi, and then they have to say, Mamsa, now I will eat you, to the animal which you are going to kill, and then after you will eat me. So, if one is doing that, then he will think twice. So, in this way, so some restrictions are there, and so it is very scientific actually, whatever is mentioned in the scripture. So some allowance is there even for drinking. The Kshatriya sometimes, they were allowed, or doing yagyas, some somaras was there. So some kind of intoxicating drink sometimes was taken, so but only by those who are, of course, of the royal order, and only sometimes, and sometimes of course, and even the Shudras they would take, but usually not in public, and the Brahmanas especially, they were not taking any of these things. So more restriction for the Brahmanas. So in this way, many restrictions are there, things which we should not take. And for example, on Ekadashi we don't take grains like today. And on festival days, vrats are there, no eating at all, fasting. So, in this way some rules and regulations are there, things to do and things which we should not do. And then afterwards, yam niyam asan, sitting properly. Without sitting properly we can also not concentrate and meditate, and even chant properly the holy names. So the yogis, they are sitting properly, as I mentioned here and in all the scriptures, Patanjali Sutra about yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. We have to sit properly. The head should be, the neck should be, and the head should be straight also. And the eyes should be half closed, half. Because if the eyes are completely open, then it is also difficult to control the mind and the senses. Because if the yogi is there, beautiful woman is coming by, then the eye will follow the woman. And then what is the question of yoga? And so, therefore the eyes have to be half closed, so you don't see if somebody is passing by. Because even in the forest sometimes women are passing by. Sometimes they are sent there by Indradev, who is getting worried. That like Vishwamitra Muni was there meditating, and then he understood Vishwamitra, Indra, that always doing great austerity and is becoming very powerful, maybe he wants to take my seat. So then he sent one beautiful heavenly girl, Menaka, and then she went in front of Vishwamitra Muni, but his eyes were properly half closed, so he didn't see her actually. But then his ears were there, and he couldn't close his ears. Not even half, that is difficult. So he was hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, the Heavenly Society girl, and he became bewildered by the sound. And he opened his eyes, and he saw this beautiful Menaka. And then he was gone, Haribol. And then from this, combination, of course, contact was there, and a girl appeared, Shakuntala. So from that, but still, Vishwamitra Muni is considered a great personality. So that was an accident, because Maya is very strong. So, but so the point is, one has to sit properly, and even for japa, therefore Prabhupada said many times, in there's a famous japa tape, and he's saying in between many times, sit properly, sit properly. So we have to sit properly, and also those who are doing Ashtanga Yoga, they do some exercise to keep the body also healthy and strong and fit. So that may be applied for devotees who are maybe of not very good physical constitution. They may do some yoga, and that is helpful. Even I do myself 5 minutes, 10 minutes, according to time, and so some yoga, and that is helpful. And then pranayam, breathing. The breathing has to be controlled. So, of course, as devotees, we don't take so much care that we control our breathing. We chant Hare Krishna, and then we concentrate on the chanting. But at the same time, it is mentioned by Sanat Goswami, before chanting Gayatri, because that is more difficult to chant the Gayatri, because you have to do mentally, or you may just softly say. But because in the Kali Yuga the mind is not very strong, it is difficult to concentrate. Whereas when you chant loudly, then the mind becomes absorbed in that, and that is the Yuga Dharma. So in order to help our chanting the Gayatri, even he has recommended before chanting Gayatri to do some pranayam, breathing exercise, because that will help to control the life airs, the prana. And then this will help to control the mind and the senses, and then one can concentrate on the mantra. So like that. And so even for health, again, it is very helpful. So to do pranayam for the health. Again, those who are not very healthy, so they may do pranayam. Even myself, my body is not strong, so I do yoga 5-10 minutes, and pranayam also 5-10 minutes a day, if possible. Except if I'm too busy, but it is very helpful. So for those who are not of very strong nature, if one is very healthy, doesn't have to take care of that, but or so it might be helpful. So, and then pratyahar, so controlling the senses, pratyahar, that means actually withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. So everyone has to do. And then we know that it is difficult. You walk outside, so many sense objects are there, and so much distraction, and it is natural for the senses to go to the sense objects. So, but we have to try to withdraw and concentrate on Krishna or the holy names. So by chanting Hare Krishna, that will help also. But one has to endeavor, or for example, the eating. So we have to, the tongue wants to eat more and more. You take one rascula, oh, very nice. I should take one more. But we have to stop. We may take one, two, no problem, but we have to control. The eating has to be controlled. So the senses have to be controlled. That is important for performing yoga. And then dharana, then we have to try to hold Krishna. So dharana means to hold or remember. Remember what? Krishna. Krishna is very beautiful form. We have to remember Krishna's form. So, how we do that? So first we have to see Krishna. Therefore we take darshan of Krishna in the temple. Or we may see pictures of Krishna. And then we have impression of Krishna. Or we may hear about Krishna. How Krishna is very beautiful. His form. Of course, he's the Supreme Lord, but he's appearing as a cowherd boy. Gopavesh. But it is mentioned, Tribanglalit. His form is bent in three places. So he's not standing very straight always. He's always a little bit leaning towards Radharani. So his form is bent in three places. Shama Sundar. His beautiful form is there. Shamarang. Megha Sham. So Sham means darkish blue, or almost blackish, like the rainy in the rainy season, the clouds, which are full of water, they are darkish color. So therefore Krishna's name is Megha Sham. Megha means the cloud, Shyam means the blackish cloud. So Krishna's color is, that is just some idea of Krishna's a very beautiful bodily color. But Krishna's color is more beautiful than the blackish rain cloud. And sometimes it is explained like the Indra Nila money. So one jewel which is of bluish color and darkish. So his bodily hue is compared to that also. But it is more beautiful. And his face, Krishna Chandra, just like the full moon. So the full moon is very beautiful. But you can see the full moon, usually there are some black spots there also. But in Krishna, of course Krishna is blackish, but still, like the full moon, a very effulgent, very bright. And the sun and the moon are getting the luster from Krishna's very beautiful transcendental form. The Brahma Jyoti, the impersonal Brahman, the light on which the Mayavadis are meditating. This is Krishna's bodily effulgence. So much light is coming from Krishna's body, Krishna's face. Krishna Chandra, Krishna Surya. He's just like the sun, just like the moon, more effulgent than thousands of suns, thousands and sun and moons. And therefore, when we remember Krishna, then there's no chance of Maya to influence us. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Jahan Krishna Taha Mayar Adhikar Nai. So wherever is Krishna, who is like the sun, there's no chance of Maya. Maya is no jurisdiction over Krishna. But everybody else in the material world is under the grip of Maya, completely an illusion. So Krishna's transcendental form is so beautiful. So very sweet. Everything about Krishna is sweet. Adaram madaram vadaram madaram nayanam madaram hasidam madaram ridam madaram hasidam madaram madaradapate rakilam madaram. So Krishna's lips are very beautiful, are very sweet. His face is very sweet or beautiful. And his smiling is very beautiful, his heart is very sweet. So everything about Krishna is very very sweet, very beautiful. So Krishna's form is most attractive. So Pitambara Vesha, so he's wearing a beautiful yellow dhoti and yellow chadar. Kanaka Jaladar Nila Sanabja Netro. So Krishna is never alone, but Srimati Radharani is with him. Or the other gopas, and they're also most enchanting. So it is explained there. Srimati Radharani is just like a molten gold, her color, or just like a champak flower, the golden yellow champak flower, or in the path of the champak flower. Taritsovana champaka pradipta gaura vigrahe. Or just like lightning. Srimati Radharani is just like lightning and Krishna is just like the cloud, and together very beautiful. And Krishna's eyes, nila, sanabja netro, sanabja. So it is mentioned the golden color or reddish. Why? Because he's always looking at Srimati Radharani. So Radharani is actually in Krishna's eyes. Radharani is everywhere, in Krishna's eyes, in Krishna's ears. Grihe Radhe Vane Radhe Praprishtastita Yatra Yatra Stidha Radha Radhe Vedemaya. Krishna is seeing everywhere Radharani. So, in his eyes, in his ears, on his tongue, Radhe Radhe, he's saying himself. In his heart, in his house, outside, everywhere, Radha is there. So therefore, because he's always looking at Radharani, so his eyes, the inner part is the color is golden or reddish. And Srimati Radharani's inner path is which color? Blue, yes, because she's always looking at Krishna. Mrigamandavaro Malatikundamalo Taranal Talavesha Nila Sanobjanet. So in this way, so Radha Krishna's beautiful forms are described. So by hearing about that, so especially when we hear from the advanced devotees, then we may be very fortunate, and that form of Krishna may come in our consciousness, in our heart. And then, so we are able to remember that for some time. That is known as dharana. But as we know, as soon as we have taken darshan, or the pravachan is over, we go outside, it's all gone. Krishna is gone from the consciousness. And then, but again, we go somewhere and then we chant, close our eyes, and then some conception may come again. But then we are praying or struggling, and so many other things are coming in the consciousness. So in the beginning it is known as dharana. Sometimes some conception of Krishna's beautiful form is there. So that is known as dharana. So that is applicable for the devotees also. It is not just in Ashtanga Yoga. Or you can remember Krishna always? No, you can remember Krishna always? You can? No, very difficult. Of course, for those who are advanced, it is not difficult. Just like breathing, you don't have to endeavor. Yogis, they are trying to control their breathing, and even ourselves, so sometimes, or sometimes we run and we are a little tired, and okay, we are trying to see. Or those who have, again, weak health, sometimes they have not so much breathing is going on and have to make some endeavor. But otherwise, those who are healthy, they don't have to care about the breathing, it is automatic. So those advanced, they don't have to endeavor to remember Krishna, they can always remember Krishna. And for them, even they want to forget Krishna, like the gopis, they cannot. Like Radharani, she's angry at Krishna. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to remember him. But Krishna is not going out of her mind. And she cannot stop speaking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna. So, but those who are not so advanced, they have to struggle to remember. And they have to pray and they have to cry. Hey Krishna, please appear to me. Hey Radhe. Or they pray to Radharani, please let me remember Krishna. And then they pray to Krishna, please let me remember Radharani. There's one verse, a famous one, I can't remember the Sanskrit. So it is explained there, the devotee is surrendering to Krishna in order to attain Srimati Radharani. And then they are surrendering to Radharani in order to attain Krishna. Like the bridge buses, they do parikrama of Vrindavan or Govardhan, they say Radhe Radhe, Shami Radhe. So Radharani, please give me Krishna, let me come to Krishna. And some will say Sham Sham, Radhe Milade. Sham, please please give me Krishna. Or please give me Radha. So like that, we take shelter of both. But in the beginning, so it is not so easy, and so that is dharana. Sometimes some conception is there. And actually in the Kali Yuga, before trying to approach Krishna, remembering Krishna, so we have to actually try to remember Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Without Gonitai, it is very difficult in Kali Yuga to remember Radhe Shyam. So first we have to try to remember Gonitai. And pray to them, and then we may then also become absorbed in Radhe Shyam. Because Mahaprabhu, if you remember Mahaprabhu, he is always thinking about Krishna and Radharani. So by remembering him, then we may remember Radha Krishna also. So like that. So but after dharana comes dhyan. Dhyan means one is able to remember more, not only Krishna's form, but Krishna's wonderful qualities, or Mahaprabhu's form and his wonderful qualities. And then if one is a little more advanced, then he may remember the wonderful pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So, but we have to hear, first of all. If we don't hear about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, it is not possible to remember the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada used to say, every day at night time, to the new bhaktas he told, you should read Krishna book while taking some milk. So if we cannot always remember Krishna, means we are still new bhaktas, so we should regularly try to hear about Krishna from the Krishna book, or you may read the 10th canto after having studied the 9 cantos. So we can, yeah, but Krishna, because he knew what is the essence and he wanted to give us the essence, but then you have to become qualified also. And the first to the 9th canto, different avatars are there and different great devotees. There may be Vaikuntha Bhaktas, but they're giving some principles of Vaidhi Bhakti which we have to adopt and which we have to follow. Otherwise we cannot enter into Braj Bhakti. It is not cheap, Braj Bhakti. So that we have to understand. But the goal, and Prabhupada has given the goal, the essence. But then we have to also try to understand how we can achieve that. But we need to know what is the goal. And we have to focus on that. And with great determination, we should think, I have to get this Braj Bhakti. Just like the example here of the sparrow. I have to get my eggs back. So it is impossible task almost to get the lotus feet of Krishna, not so easy, almost impossible for the new five devotees. But we must have determination, like the sparrow, I must get it. And there's also a nice description in Mahabharata about the aim. Dronacharya, the teacher of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, one time he gave them a task to perform. At that time they were together, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and the enmity was not yet fully manifested. Some enmity was already there, but it was not fully manifested yet. So then he was giving the task. So there was a tree, and there was a bird, maybe even a sparrow. So he was saying, okay, you have to aim at the bird. And everyone had the bow and arrow, so you have to hit. So then he told one of his students, maybe Duryodhan, because he was the elder one. So then he said, okay, what do you see? Oh, yes, I see the tree? No, you're not qualified. Then he asked another, his son, Ashwatam, what do you see? I see you? No, you're not qualified. So in this way he was asking the different disciples. One was saying that I see the bird. Good, but you're not qualified. And then he asked Arjun, what do you see? I see only the eye of the bird. Okay, you shoot. And then he shot and he... So this way one has to be fixed. So if one is seeing so many other things, so then it is difficult to get the target. So the target is Krishna's lotus feet. Braj Bhakti Krishna. So of course at the same time we should understand that we need the mercy of the Guru. So in the beginning, we have to see the Guru only, actually, and the lotus feet of the Guru. We don't even have to worry too much about Krishna. But the Guru is also saying, so first we take shelter of Guru, and then we may take shelter of Mahaprabhu, and then we may take shelter of Krishna. So, but one has to be fixed, and one has to have strong determination. That is the point. So, and then one is able to remember Krishna's wonderful qualities and pastimes more and more. So, but one has to hear from the Guru, from the Vaishnavas about Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So every day. And then after hearing actually for a long time, then it is possible to meditate also and remember the pastimes. If there's casual hearing, then there will be not absorption is not possible. Therefore, Prabhupada has explained, with rapt attention we should hear. And in many places it is explained in Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, and Prabhupada has explained the purpose. After hearing for long, long time, then we can be absorbed. Especially when we are chanting Harinam. Other time when we are doing some work, it is difficult. Sometimes something comes in the mind, but we have to hear, and then we may chant, and then we may remember. And then during the day when we are doing things, then we may also remember. So it is a very scientific process. And then the last one is Samadhi. That is full absorption in Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And then there is no awareness of this external world. But that is only for the Mahapurush, the Mahatmas, those who are greatly advanced. So for us Samadhi is very, very far away. But we should try to sometimes remember Krishna and his pastimes, and Dhyan has to be there also. But of course when we chant Harinam, we have to chant properly and hear properly, and then we may remember after some time. But we may try to endeavor to remember Krishna's form and Krishna's pastimes, but we cannot force that. We cannot force Krishna to appear. But Seva Bhava has to be there. Seva Vritti, always ready to serve Guru Gauranga and Krishna. And so also during the day doing Seva, and studying, hearing, and then we may be able to chant properly. And then we may be able to become absorbed. And then we can do Nam Bhajan. Then we can get Nam Ruchi. And then we can chant properly, and then so we can come to the higher and higher stages. So in this way, so we should have the strong determination. So, as explained here, Nishchayena, with firm determination, and Prabhupada is explaining from Rupa Goswami, Utsa Nishchay Daryat. Utsaha, enthusiasm has to be there, despite all difficulties. And in the Kali Yuga there are always many difficulties. But despite all difficulties, we must remain enthusiastic. And then Nishchaya, Nishta. Nishta has to be there, fixed determination. Fixed, not waver. And then Darya, we have to be patient, very patient. That is also required. And then Tatta Karma Pravartanat, that means we have to follow the rules and regulations, and we have to be absorbed in the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Naviveda Bhakti, or Pancha Mahatvapurna Ang. Chanting the holy names, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and serving the Lord. So by doing that, and Sangat Tyagat, giving up the unwanted association, Satovrite, in the association of the Vaishnavas, Sadbir Bhakti Prasiddhati. By doing this, then the bhakti will become perfect. So that is there. And then, So the determination has to be there. Sankalpa has to be there. So that is important. So sankalpa here it is explained as mental speculation. But sankalpa also actually means the declaration of the activity or the firm determination to do an activity. So it depends how it is used, the word. But we have to give up all mental speculation and with firm determination try to be engaged completely in spiritual activities. Tan, man, vacha. So all the senses, the body and the mind, the consciousness has to be absorbed in Krishna seva. So we have to be engaged constantly. So we have to be tolerant and humble and not expect any honor and be always respectful to others. And in this way, certainly we will achieve perfection in due course of time. But we have to endeavor, and then God will help us also, as Prabhupada is explaining. So for God, the Lord will help surely. For God helps those who help themselves. So help them. We have to help ourselves by taking part in this process properly, applying ourselves to the process, and so we have to endeavor very nicely, and then we may get the kripa of Krishna. If we're not endeavoring, there is no kripa will be there. Krishna is always ready to give kripa, but if we're only doing some little bit something, then we'll get a little kripa. If we want more kripa, we have to do more. If we want full kripa, we have to do full surrender. Like that. So it is up to us. Yeya tamam papadyate tam sataiva bhajami aham. So as you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So, atmani vedanam, ultimately we have to fully surrender. And then there is full reciprocation. And then there is full success. But in this path of bhakti yoga especially, there is always success. Even if you do a little bit, so we may be able to then continue later. If not this lifetime, the next lifetime. But there's always success in bhakti yoga. But the more we endeavor, the more success will be there. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Yes. Ramse Bara Naam. Ram Naam. Yes. Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
In our chanting also when we ask too many questions, they don't worry about the form.
Yeah, that is true. But that is the beginning stage. I mean, you have to understand. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigara Purna Sudhani Vukta Aminatvam Nama Naminaha. Krishna and Krishna Nama is not different. No difference. So if you chanting Krishna Krishna and you're seeing Krishna's form, means you're not yet on a higher platform. Very simple. But you don't have to worry, that is true. No, but you have to understand. Ultimately you have to remember Krishna's form. Otherwise you're not chanting properly Krishna Naam. Yeah, you don't worry. For now you don't worry, that is true. But ultimately if you don't see Krishna, means you're not yet advanced. And very simple. Yeah, but still, yeah, that is for the beginning stage, it is like that. For the beginning you don't worry, because you cannot see Krishna, you chant Krishna Nam and it is alright. But you have to understand the point. The Krishna and Krishna Nam is not different. See, if you chant the Krishna Krishna and you remember your wife, then what is the use? Now if you remember something else, then what is there of Krishna Nam? It is not fully Krishna Nam. If you remember nothing, what is this? That is Brahma. Brahma realized. You want to become absorbed in Brahman? The Mayavadis, they're chanting Hare Krishna. And they want to merge in the Brahman. But you want to attain Krishna. We want to enter Krishna Lila. Nitya Lila Pravesh. We want to enter the Nitya Lila. If you're not remembering Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, you will not go to Krishna Lila. If you remember nothing, then what do you accept? What do you can expect? If nothing is there while you're chanting, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you don't remember Krishna's form, ultimately, I'm telling you, means you're not advanced. Okay, you don't worry, that is okay. But at the same time, you must worry also. Because three stages, aparadhanam, Abhas Naam and Shuddha Naam. What is Shuddha Naam? Shuddha Naam is which you chant pure name. You chant Hare Krishna, you see Krishna. Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Or Krishna is dancing in your ears. Or in your heart, and Krishna's pastimes are there. The pure devotees are chanting Shuddha Naam. Because they are pure, they don't have to endeavor. They see Krishna's pastimes like a film. You have TV, you know, you saw TV before, ever in your life? You saw? You saw some people there in TV? Or you saw Ramayana in TV? You saw? Nice? You saw Krishna's or Rama's form? And the pastimes? Beautiful, huh? You became absorbed, no? So the pure devotees that seeing Krishna Naam is like seeing TV. No break. They sing like TV. This is Shuddha Naam. And then there's Abhas Naam. Abhasnam is you chanting Hare Krishna, and sometimes slightly you may see Krishna's form, or Ram's form if you are Ram Bhakta. If nothing is there, you're chanting Aparadhanam. You're chanting with offenses. So by Aparadhanam, you're not going back to Krishna. So that you should understand. So you must come at least Abhasnam, so that sometimes slightly you may remember Krishna's form. You see, you got my point? So if you're not chanting Abhasnam, you're chanting Aparadhanam. So, but that is for the beginners, it is explained like that. You see, we should understand what the acharyas have told. That's why we have guru. And we're not just taking diksha. Diksha is the beginning. Diksha is the beginning when you take initiation. But then you have to do bhajan. And then if the association of the diksha guru, if diksha guru you don't have much association, maybe you need the shiksha guru. He give you some shiksha, some instruction, so you may advance more. Like that. And then you may understand the things properly. What they are meaning, the acharyas. They may say so many things according to time, place and circumstances. For different persons, different things are told. Like that. So, and Krishna Naam and Krishna, Ram Naam and Ram Naam, different. And you cannot say Ram is bigger than Ram Naam ultimately, and Ram Naam is bigger than Ram. No, they're not different. Ram, Krishna, or Ram Naam or Ram is not different. No difference. But to approach Ram, you must chant Ram Naam. That is the understanding. And because we are fallen, we cannot remember Ram, so we chant Ram Naam. And after sometimes, when you chant Ram Naam, you can see Ram. But if you're not seeing Ram, while chanting Ram Naam, if you're not seeing Ram, you have a long way to go. So you have to think what to do so you can see Ram when you're chanting Ram Naam. So if you're chanting properly Ram Naam, you see Ram. Okay, if you're chanting properly chanting Hare Krishna, then you see Krishna. Like that. So if you're not seeing Krishna yet, then means you have a long way to go. And then you have to think, what shall I do now? So I can advance. Time is running out. You're old age. So you should think. Like that. So we should understand the things properly. You see, otherwise, you see, chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, going back to God, that is okay, yes. But still the same point, if you're chanting with aparad while leaving the body, you will not go to Krishna. Not possible. If you're chanting with aparad. So we should know what is aparadnam, what is abhasnam. You must have some conception while chanting. Seeing something of Krishna sometimes at least. At least in 2 hours you seeing 1 minute Krishna. Krishna's form while chanting 2 hours, you see him 1 minute? In 24 hours then? So if you're not seeing Krishna for 1 minute without seeing the deity, then what is your Krishna consciousness? We have to become, we cannot become 100% Krishna conscious. So then 50%, that means 12 hours? You see Krishna 12 hours? 25%, 6 hours? 3 hours means 12%? 6% is 1.5 hours? So how much Krishna consciousness we have? We should analyze and see what is our position. And then we should cry, so we may advance a little bit. Because otherwise at the time of that, you will have to take birth again. Only you chant Abhasnam, if you chant Aparadhanam, no question, you go to Golok. Anyway, you cannot go directly to Golok. Only those who have come from there, like the Nitya Siddha Parika, they come here, they can go back. Actually, they are there and they come here. At the same time, they are here and there and everywhere. But our position is completely different. We are Nitya Bada. We came here, so... we may try to make some advancement. So we have to chant Abhasnam. And then if we are by good fortune, if we get some special mercy, then we may be elevated. And even maybe some... If you are chanting good Abhasnam, like we're saying Madhyam Adhikari, Kanishta Madhyam Uttam. If you are Kanishta Madhyam, then you will have to take birth again. maybe you're madhyam, madhyam, udhuttam, madhyam, when you're chanting nicely and you can remember Krishna and Krishna's pastime sometimes, then maybe you may get some special mercy, but even that you cannot go get directly Golok, not possible. You may go to one of the places where Krishna is performing his Prakat Leela, and then you become perfect. But usually you have to chant Shudanam, and then it is assured that you can go to the Krishna Leela, in Prakat Leela. So that is known as Sarup Siddhi. When you realize your Sarup, we are Atma, we are Soul, we are Jiva, Sarup, Jiva Swapo Nikta Krishna Das, we are Krishna Das. But we should realize our Sarup as Atma, Atma Sakshatkar, not just theoretically but practically. We should understand we are not this body. And when you understand you are not this body practically, and you can see your Atma, then you can see Krishna. And then you can properly chant Hare Krishna. And that is real chanting. Otherwise it is just uttering the names, the syllables, Hare Krishna. Krishna is there to a very small extent in the Kanishtha Adhikari. But those who are more advanced, then Krishna is there. Krishna is becoming present by the purity. So this we should understand properly. And then when you are Sarup Siddhi, when you realize, but that is Uttam Vaishnava or Uttam Madhyam, the highest of the Madhyam, they may have some realization of their Sarup and of Krishna's Sarup. And then they will enter into Krishna Leela and get Vastu Siddhi and serve Krishna. That is the process. And then you are in Golok, like this. So Prabhupada said just, you know, in the beginning, and it is true, but it is for everyone, but you have to qualify and we have to understand Prabhupada. If you chant nicely 16 rounds and you follow the regulative principles, you chant Shudanam, then you go back. But if you're not chanting Shudanam, then you have to take birth again. So this we should understand. So Paradhanam, Abhasnam, and Shudanam. So like this. So in the beginning, so you chant Ram Nam and then you may see Ram after. If you're not seeing Ram, then it is not complete chanting. It is not Shudanam. Shudnaram Nam. So in this way we should try to understand the things properly. So those who are advanced, they will understand the things properly. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes. Krishna is the source of everything. Yes.
Krishna makes himself so beautiful.
What? Yeah, Krishna is the source of everything. He's the source of all beauty. Yes. He's the source of everything. He's the source of all knowledge, of all beauty. Krishna is beauty. And Krishna is not different from his qualities. Beauty, that means Krishna. If you're speaking about beauty, that is Krishna. Or Srimati Radharani. Nothing else is beautiful ultimately, from the highest sense. Like that. So if you say beauty, that is Krishna. So like that. It is simultaneously different and also non-different from Krishna. So beauty, that means Krishna. Krishna means beauty, beauty means Krishna. Like that. And those who have a little beauty, that means have a little mercy of Krishna. So even in material world, what is beautiful? That is the speck of Krishna's splendor. Whatever intelligence is there, that is a little speck of Krishna's intelligence. Like this. So, we should always see everywhere. So, like that. Okay? So, yeah, so we have to stop here because I have some other duties. The president is calling me also a few times here, so so I think I have to stop. Yes? Send message from the president. I should meet him. Okay, all right, yes. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.